Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Woman, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching comes from a recent seminar that Andrew did in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. This classic teaching on spirit, soul, and body is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The church is basically preaching temporary redemption. Temporary inheritance until the next time you mess up. And he just keeps saying this over and over. If you were to study all of these verses, he's just making this point dozens and dozens of times. He says it over and over and over. There's a new way of relating to God. Let's go down to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. He's saying that Jesus doesn't have to offer his blood over and over for us the way that the high priest did in the Old Testament. It was appropriate for the high priest to do it because they were only offering the blood of animals. Animals could never satisfy the demand of God. It was only a picture, a shadow, a type of what Jesus was going to do. And it didn't really do anything. It was symbolic. So they had to offer the symbolism over and over and over. But Jesus wasn't symbolic. Jesus was the real deal. And when Jesus paid for our sins and shed his blood, he only did it one time. And that's what he's saying. Because if it wasn't that way, if Jesus had to offer himself over and over, then would he have had to have offered himself many times since the foundation of the world? You know, we're going to continue and read in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. If Jesus had to reapply his blood every time you messed up and you had to confess that sin and get that new sin under the blood. I don't know if you use that terminology here, but in the United States, people will say that you need to get that sin under the blood. Talking to Christians, you need to repent of that sin. You need to get it confessed and out of the way. And if Jesus had to reapply his blood and make a new atonement for you every time you sin, there would be no such thing as Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand. He would be constantly working. There are millions of Christians on this earth. You know, if he just took the Christians in this room, I don't know how many Christians we have here, but there's hundreds. If he only took the hundreds of people in this room, and if every time you sin, and then you repent and ask God to forgive you again, of your sins, he would never be able to sit down just with this few hundred people. And then you multiply that times the millions of Christians that are on the face of the earth, and it would be impossible that Jesus would be seated at the Father's right hand. But the scriptures are saying that he only did it one time. Again, back in verse 26, it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." It's trying to get you out of this mindset that every time you sin, you lose your right standing with God. You don't. Because your spirit has been sanctified and perfected forever. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit, and you retain your relationship with God even though you sin. This doesn't mean you should go live in sin, by no means, because Satan will take advantage of your sins. But it does not change God's attitude towards you if you sin. If you sin, your attitude towards God changes, but God's attitude towards you doesn't change. Holiness doesn't affect God's attitude towards you, but it will affect your attitude towards God. So as much as possible, live holy. As much as you can, seek God. It's just stupid to go live in sin, but God loves you stupid. So in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? That's a question. And the answer is, well, yeah, if the sacrifices could have worked, then you'd quit offering the sins. And here's the reason, because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. Now, those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't work because they were only symbolic. Jesus' sacrifice did work, and therefore, Christians should have no more conscience of sin. That's as rare as hen's teeth. Y'all understand that? That's as rare as chickens having teeth. In case you didn't know, they don't have teeth. There's not very many Christians that have... They think, well, no, sin consciousness is good. It keeps me in a constant state of brokenness and humility. No, that's not true. You don't... We should have no more sin consciousness. And yet most of us, it's exactly the opposite. Most people come in, oh God, I'm so sorry. God, I come before you so humbly. Oh God, I'm a worm. Oh God, I'm such a failure. God, I'm no good. Oh God, please forgive me. And you just mention all of the stuff that's wrong with you, hoping that if you mention it, God won't mention it. What I'm saying is, instead of talking about how sorry you are, how ungodly you are, you ought to come before God and praise Him for loving somebody as sorry as you are. Instead of talking about your badness, talk about His goodness. Father, thank you that you are such a good Savior, that you see me in spirit and in truth, and it's not based on what I do. Thank you for what you have done in my life. But instead, most of us are sin conscious. That's exactly opposite what these verses are saying. For time's sake, drop on down to verse 10. And it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified means to make holy or separate. You have been made holy. Again, go back to the verse I used, Ephesians 4:24. You were created in righteousness and true holiness. You were created that way. And once you believe, you were sanctified through the one offering of Jesus once for all time. The next verse says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, not just one sacrifice for all people, but one sacrifice for all time. One drop of Jesus' blood was worth more than all of the sins of the entire human race. It was so pure, it was so holy, that you take all of the perversion, all of the evil things that have ever been done in the history of mankind, past, present, and even future. And one drop of Jesus' blood was worth more than the sin of the entire human race. If you put them onto one of these scales like this, if you put all of the sins of the world over here, one drop of blood, boom, it would have outweighed all of the sins of the world. Amen. He has perfected us and forgiven us once for all. In verse 13, it says, "From he's now seated at the Father's right hand, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Verse 10 says you were sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14 says, if you were sanctified, you have been perfected, made perfect forever. Now see, if you don't understand what I'm saying about spirit, soul, and body, if you are only thinking in the natural realm and seeing yourself only as a human being, you go look in the mirror and you think, this is perfect. And you search your soul and you think, this is perfect. And you just say, well, the Bible is so hard to understand. Your body's not born again. Your soul's not born again. But your spirit has been sanctified and perfected forever. It's perfect. It's identical to Jesus. It can't get any better. You can't get any holier. You can't get any more power. You can't get any more joy. You can't get any more peace. You can't get any more anointing. You can't get any more faith. You are perfect. You are identical to Jesus forever. It never changes. The only thing that changes is your perception. Sometimes you are thinking in line with the Spirit. Sometimes you are focused on what God says. Other times you listen to what other people say or what you say. But the truth is, in the Spirit, you've been sanctified and perfected forever. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Remember that this is the same book, same author. It wasn't written in chapter and verses. It's the same context. And so it's not a new thought. And he explains very clearly that this is the Spirit that is sanctified and perfected forever. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Remember, this is the same book. And so, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14 says, "You've been sanctified and made perfect forever." Now this says clearly, it's the spirits of men that have been made perfect.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the subject of spirit, soul, and body. This teaching series was recorded at a special Holland GTS in Amsterdam. It's available in a three-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM231 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to join me on our website. And I tell you, it is one of the best websites available. We have so much material for you. Hundreds of my teachings are available as free downloads. You can watch over 8 years of these television programs. You can watch or listen to about 12 years, I think it is, of radio programs. Also, my living commentary is on there, and you can get a sample of that and sign up for that. I tell you, I'm really excited about that. There's just so many ways that you could be blessed, and I think it would be a blessing to you. So please join us on the web at awmi.net.